What's exciting about this is that Solomon doesn't check into the Gaylord, run up to the room, and he runs out of the bathroom and he attacks his wife. And then it's over with and he turns on the sports channel. Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but you know what I'm talking about.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday and welcome to the broadcast. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study of Song of Solomon. Pastor has titled this message, A True Honeymoon. Now, Pastor.
Turn with me tonight into the Old Testament as we continue our study through the Song of Solomon. And we're going to be tonight in chapter 3, I believe. And, you know, we're through with the courtship. And the Song of Solomon is a difficult, difficult, difficult book. And I can say that because I'm the one that's looking at it and trying to teach it, okay? And I know that these pages before us, you know, we're looking at a love story between King Solomon and a Shulamite, a young girl, a young maiden, probably from old Lebanon, someplace like that. We don't really know. And it's a 3,000-year-old document about love and sexual passion and romance and so forth. And I want you to know from the onset tonight that in chapter 3, 4, and chapter 5, only to verse 1, I believe, is where I'll end tonight. I want you to know right now that I'm not comfortable teaching this. Now, when I say I'm not comfortable, it's because of the context. I'm always comfortable teaching God's Word, but sometimes God's Word is difficult to teach in the presence of others. And we run into some things here tonight that are very intimate. And, you know, I asked my wife about this. I said, honey, I said, why do you think God put something in Scripture so intimate, so private? And she told me something. She said, well, because, honey, you know you're the pastor. Wake up. And I said, no, tell me. She said, because God wants all of us to know the truth about sexual intimacy. You know, and you start thinking about that, and that's why so many pastors shy away from teaching the Song of Solomon in the pulpit. And let me tell you that I certainly don't criticize them at all. And I myself, you know, when I started putting this together and reviewing it, I read it about 60 times and I said, well, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'm just going to teach it with Christ's love to the church. And I'd have been just as valid by doing that and no one would have said a word. And or I could say, this is God, Jehovah's love for Israel. And I'd have been fine doing that. But I don't think I would have been honest with myself had I taught it that way, although we could certainly do that. Because this is such an intimate look at what romance and courtship and true dating, I guess if we use that word, really ought to be. About how a man really should love a woman and how a woman should really love a man. And I don't know about you, but to be honest with you, we probably, all of us, learned about sexual things not from God's Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we certainly, and I speak for men only because I'm yet to understand women, no offense. But men, you know, are pretty messed up. And I don't even want to start on that. So, but I guess what I want to say tonight is the world that we live in. I mean, you know, they have taken that word sex, okay? And they have perverted it. They've taken it and they've turned sexual passion within the confines of marriage or outside of marriage, they've turned it into a dirty, perverted thing or act. And it's not. Within marriage, it is the highest intimacy between a man and a woman who are made one by Almighty God. Amen? And you know Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices. And what he desires to do is destroy the beauty of that blessed act when a man and a woman become one and they demonstrate their oneness and their passion toward one another through sexual intimacy. And it's a beautiful thing. But I don't want you to, as we ended last week, look at verse 5 of chapter 3. There it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love. That means sexual passion. Don't wake it up until it pleases. In other words, until the right time. Maintain sexual purity is what this word is teaching us. So let me say something. This whole chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's not about getting in the bed with somebody. Do you understand that? I mean, that's not the purpose of the Song of Solomon. Say, well, finally we can be in the bedroom together. No, listen, they are in love with someone. And you know, when you're in love with someone, you don't have to be in the bed with that person. You sit there and you talk for hours. There's something about holding the hand and looking in the eyes and kissing and just being in love. Amen? I'm not talking about some sexual act now. I'm talking about loving your wife, loving your husband. And so when we see this, Solomon's quest wasn't sexual to say. Yes, that occurred, of course, but he was in love with this woman. So let's begin tonight, and we're going to find out, we're going to enter into the wedding here in just a moment, but look at verse 6. Solomon is coming, and this is the honeymoon night, okay? But listen to me, let me back up. This is the honeymoon night as God sees it. And you know, what's wonderful about the Song of Solomon is that, you know, I'm growing as well. I'm enjoying this because I'm saying, you know, Lord, you're seeing what's going on. You're teaching us. Here we are, older, some younger, some single, some married, and we're learning really about true love one for another. And it says, who is coming out of the wilderness? Now listen to me. I want to say something. There are those that believe this is Solomon. King Solomon is coming. And you know what? You could teach that King Solomon is coming out of the wilderness like a god, in the sense that pillar of smoke and all that stuff is happening. I personally, and I wouldn't want to die for this or anything, but I personally don't believe it's King Solomon. I believe King Solomon has sent for the Shulamite, his bride, and she's coming out of the wilderness, because that's where she was at, is in the wilderness. He's in Jerusalem. And who is coming? I personally believe it's the bride. And it goes, who is coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchants' fragrant powders. Well, this is the wedding day. The wedding day has arrived. Now listen to me. He has not touched her. He has not kissed her. And no matter how popular 21st century thought is today, they were not living together. Amen? They weren't in sin in any way. Now that's hard to believe about King Solomon, because you know he did have a problem with women later on. Evidently here, I'm assuming that this was before all those things occurred. And so here they come, and they're not living together, like I said, and it's like almost a Hollywood scene, isn't it? Who's coming out of the wilderness? Let me tell you who's coming out of the wilderness. We are. Amen. The church. We're going through the wilderness of this world to our royal home one day. Man, praise God, I wish it would be tonight. And I look at this and it says, behold, it is Solomon's couch. It doesn't say it's Solomon. It says it's Solomon's couch. In other words, it's his limousine. You like that? And that's what it is. It's his limo. And look at his groomsmen with 60 valiant men around it. Can you imagine having 60 groomsmen in your wedding? And of the valiant of Israel, they all, what do? They hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh, because of the fear in the night. They were prepared for anything. Now, you say, well, Bill, they were escorting King Solomon. They may have been doing that, but I think that really they were escorting his bride, and they were protecting her. She had constant, ongoing protection. And it says, of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin, in other words, a portable enclosed chair there that he could sit in. And even though he made it for himself, I believe she's being able to ride in this. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe both of them are in that coach together. And it says, and he made its pillars of silver, its supports of gold, its seats of purple. Now, you're talking about a custom car, huh? Just like a Corvette, right? I mean, I like it already. It says, its seats of purple, its interior paved with love. Isn't that great? In other words, decorated with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. In other words, it's the love bug, okay? And go forth, O daughters of Zion. It's a public event, folks. And see King Solomon with the crown which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. So Solomon, his mother on that day, had made him a crown. placed it upon him for this special day, and they arrive in Jerusalem from the wilderness, and she tells all the women, look, there he is. There's my man. That's the man that I'm going to marry. It's a day of gladness of his heart, it says. You know what I've found after all these years, and it always troubles me, and I always encourage the people that are about to be married. I say, listen, that day, let it be a gladness of heart. Don't let your wedding day be a day of high stress. You know what I'm saying? Where you're just so stressed out, you don't enjoy yourself. Listen, I think a wedding should be a celebration. You know what? If I had everything to do over again, I even thought, I'm off on a wild place right now, forgive me. I thought, you know what? I'm going to write a new, I love what my wedding vows, the ones that I do. But I thought, you know, I'm going to write a whole new wedding thing. And I'm going to have trumpeteers, you know what I mean? Let's have a party. Let's make it a celebration. When the bride comes through, we should have a 400-member choir stand up, hallelujah. I mean, there should be a celebration in the house. It should be a party because it's a wonderful day. But so many times the bride, she is just, you know, what is that? It's a pimple. Oh, my God, you know. I mean, and I say, it's okay. Nobody's going to see. You got 6 inches of makeup on, you know. And so it should be a happy day. When she comes down that aisle, listen, like I always tell them, I say, listen, don't worry about who's here. Don't worry about the people in the congregation. It's just you, your husband, your future husband. It's me and the Lord. And let's let it be an intimate, a happy time. We don't want to be stressed out on that day. It should be a day of gladness. Now, the wedding is now over. They don't talk about it, but the wedding is over. And the words before us, I'm going to tell you right now, they are no doubt the most profound and deepest words in the Bible. And I pray that I do justice to them, because as we move to the wedding night, I want you to understand something here in chapter 4, that when he starts speaking about her body, let's be honest, because, you know, everything on TV is about sex. I mean, you can't even turn on the news anymore. It's about sex. Everything is crazy. You can't even sell a car unless there's women walking across in a bathing suit or something. It's crazy. When he starts speaking about her body tonight, this is not lust. Do you understand? This is deep love that he has for the woman that is now his wife. And so every word in chapter 4, I want you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else tonight, remember this. Every word in chapter 4 is holy. Amen? Now, I have never been in a room on anybody's wedding night but my own. Thank God, right? No, I didn't mean it to sound bad. The reason I said that is because tonight, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, He takes us in to the bridal chamber. And it's so holy, and that's why I don't really want to go there. And I almost skipped it, to be honest with you, and I don't ever skip the Word of God. But because I want to be able to do justice to this text. And you know what? I remember some time ago, I heard J. Vernon McGee teaching through the Song of Solomon on the radio, and here's what he said. He said, my professor in Bible college told me, don't ever teach the Song of Solomon until you're over 60 years of age. And you know what? I agree. I'm not 60. So I ought to say, well, I'm just going to skip it then. J. Vernon, I mean, you know, I'll trust you, brother. And so, but tonight we look at these holy words, and it says here, behold, now remember, this is the bridal chamber. He said, behold, you are beautiful. In other words, you're fair, my love. Behold, you're beautiful, you're fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Now listen to me. We are at the bridal suite at the Gaylord Hotel. You got it? That's where we are. The lights are low. The soft music is in the background. Singles, marrieds, I want you to listen to me. Don't ever forget this chapter, but especially men. See, because I can't really talk to the women because I don't understand that aspect. I'd have to get my wife to get up here. But I can say this. Men, listen to me, and I want you to pay very close attention. I want you to pay very close attention what Solomon does first when they are in their bridal suite at the Gaylord Hotel, okay? He doesn't run over to her and lay on her a big old Texas kiss. He doesn't do that. You know what he starts doing? This is so important. This is what love really is. They're married. They're legally, they can do whatever they want now, and they've waited, which they should have waited. We all should wait. And we look at this, and what does he start doing? He doesn't even kiss her. That doesn't even happen to verse 11. And we look at this, and what does he start doing? Well, she has on a veil. And what does he do? He takes that veil off and he removes it. And what does he do to his bride? He starts talking. I like that. He starts talking to her. What does he do? Twice he says, "You are beautiful." Do you see that picture? I don't know why. I see it. I see how holy that is. He removes that veil and he says, "Oh, honey, you are out of this world. Look at your eyes. They're like dove eyes. They're innocent. They're pure. There's not a hint of guilt there." Why? Because they kept themselves pure. The honeymoon night was a special night because they'd not given themselves to sin. And he says, "And your hair." Now listen, that's the first time he, in a sense, touches her. He touches her hair, and look what happens. It says that your hair is like a flock of goats. I don't know how, but I mean, let's face it, guys. Going down from Mount Gilead, the only thing I can figure is this. Those goats, of course, were black, and they came down, and the fact is I guess her hair just kind of fell down around her shoulders, and he's just saying, "You are absolutely gorgeous." Men, listen to me. Especially if you're about to get married. What's exciting about this is that Solomon doesn't check into the Gaylord, run up to the room, and he runs out of the bathroom and he attacks his wife. And then it's over with and he turns on the sports channel. Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but you know what I'm talking about. And you look at this, and there's no way that I'm trying to be vulgar. I love the Lord and I love Jesus, and my face may turn red in a moment. But the fact of the matter is that this is good. And I like this because it's what it's all about. And, you know, they're in love, and that intimacy that they have is just an outflow of the love they have for another. And his heart is overwhelmed, guys. His heart is overwhelmed because of the deep love and affection he has for his bride. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Amen? And that's what it's all about. Now, he's continuing his journey here. And he says in verse 2, he says, "Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep," okay, "which have come up from the washing, where every one of them of which bears twins, and none is barren among them." I use this line on my wife all the time. Your teeth. You know, the eyes, the teeth, the hair, he's looking, and you know, she's smiling, and I guess they're glistening. They're all even, I guess. She's not missing any. And he's excited about it. And then he goes in verse 3, and he says, "And your lips." Now, this guy is thorough, isn't he? He says, "Your lips are like a strand of scarlet." In other words, that beautiful, deep scarlet red. "And your mouth is lovely. Your temples," in other words, I'm assuming your cheeks, "behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate." Remember a pomegranate? You know, you cut it open, it's that soft red look. He says, "Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." Solomon has a way with words. And he's talking to this woman that he's in love with. And when he calls her neck, when he says, "Your neck," gentlemen, listen, he's still right up here. Can I tell you that? He's just looking at his wife. I'm just being honest. You know, he says, "Your neck is like the Tower of David." We don't really know what the Tower of David was or is, but whatever it was, it must have been elegant. It must have been beautiful. It must have been strong. I think what Solomon was saying is, "You look just like a queen ought to look. And I'll tell you this, you are my queen, and you're strong, and you're powerful, and you're passionate." And he says in verse 5, he says, "Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Gentlemen, listen to me. I think this is very important today. I want you to know that Solomon didn't begin at verse 5 and work his way up. Amen? You know exactly what I'm saying. He started at the top, and this guy is working down. He's saying, I'm in love with you. You're so beautiful. You're my queen. He says, you know, he goes, your eyes are beautiful. Your hair is beautiful. Your teeth, your lips, your mouth, your cheeks, your neck. And then it goes into verse 5. And I counted them. He mentions 8 parts of her body. Bill, are you sick? No. But 8 means something. 8 is the number of a new beginning. Amen? And that's what was happening. See, when you are married, it's a new beginning. When God makes the two of you, two unique, separate personalities, He makes you one flesh. Still with the same unique personalities, but He supernaturally does that. You begin a brand new journey together. A journey through this life. Heirs together of the grace of God. Committed to God. Loving the Lord. Praying together. What's better than for a man and wife to pray together? What's greater than for a wife to come to the husband and say, honey, we need to pray, or vice versa? How wonderful. Remember how lonely it is to pray when you say, if I just had someone to pray with. And then when you're married, you say, pray with me. Let's pray together. You know, oh, man, God is so rich and so wonderful. And He says here in this beautiful passage how holy and how pure all this is. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. In other words, they're stirring up their love. They're doing the things that married people do. And we look at this, and I said to myself, I wonder if this is a pattern, or is this an outline, or is this a model in a sense? Because when I look at it, I go, what a great outline to follow. You know what I mean? To be sincere. And I don't know that you can find a better one, because when I think about this and I go, you know what, Solomon? I know that God created sex. Amen? Okay, God created foreplay. I'm not trying to be weird tonight, forgive me, but He did. But He also created something else. He created for speaking. And that's what Solomon has been doing this whole time. And I'm going to tell you something. I've taught it for years, but Solomon, if I'd only really understood this passage better, I could have always used it, because men really need to learn from this, because Solomon just told his undressed wife that she was absolutely perfect. Perfect. You know, he had never seen her undressed. And you know what? This woman, this Shulamite, whoever she was, I promise you, as he started his descent from the top of her head downward, saying, every part of you is absolutely glorious and beautiful, and I'm in love with you. There's not anyone like you in all the world. I'm going to tell you something. Women, don't answer me, but would you feel safe with this man and secure? Absolutely. Why? Would you feel confident about who you are? Yes. Why? Because he's telling you how perfect you are. I mean, Solomon didn't say on his wedding night after the dress was off, he didn't go, whoa, a little heavier than I thought. No, he didn't do that. Do you understand? He didn't do those things. This is hard to teach. I'm sweating up here. You know, he's in love. This is romance. He's loving. This is not sexual abuse that so many women today have to go through, date rapes and all that other filth that's in this world and horror like that. No. Man, this is godly. Did you hear that word? This is godly passion. This is pure and holy passion for those that you are in love with and you're married to. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Look there in verse 7. You are all fair, my love. And look what he says. There is no spot in you. You're the woman. Now listen, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. To someone else, it would have been, I don't like her, the way she looks. Well, so what? You didn't marry her. You'll keep your eyes off of her anyway. Solomon said, you're everything I've ever wanted.
Pastor Bill will be back on Monday to finish this message, and we'll look for you once again. Amen? Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast this week. We pray that you have a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.